What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On Screen Live. My name is Andrew Jupin, and this is the show for March the 4th. Another happy Monday, a happy post-Dune weekend to you all. We'll be talking about that in some detail later in the program. Also, we're under 2 weeks away from St. Patrick's Day. Get your livers ready for that shit. And also, 6 days away from Hollywood's biggest night. Going to be kind of chatting about that a little bit, but of course, we'll give you all of our official opinions of the results next week. But going to bring in some buds here. We got a lot to get to today. First up, well, he's just the blondest, bestest bud, Eric Siska.
Hello, and shout out to all the Fremen and fundamentalists out there looking to overthrow the Galactic Order.
I think we're going to be trying to overthrow a Galactic Order of some kind, man. I think it's got to happen.
Yes, it does. It does need to happen.
We'll see. We'll see about that. All right. Fresh from the dunes of Las Vegas, he's back in action. You know him, you love him, Mr. Steven Sadak.
That's right. All of my thumbs still work. How about that?
Nice.
No problem. And you can actually guess why that might be on your own. No, I also, yeah, I liked Vegas fine.
Yeah.
As a lifelong pedestrian, I grade everything as a cities as how walkable they are. And that's got to be a big fat zero for Vegas, man. It is just.
All right.
You know, in a video game, like a 16-bit video game, when you're walking around and then there's like, you're trying to get to the castle, but there's like a hedge and you're like, well, what the fuck? You know what I mean? And like,
yeah,
can I just climb over that? Like, the answer is no. Uh-huh. That's Las Vegas. It's like, yeah, can I just get to that area over there? Oh, no, you have to walk a quarter mile around, take the
pressure
over, and then da-da-da-da-da-da.
Did you at least play the Gam Jabbar there? I think they have that now.
Yes, and I died.
Yeah, you got to guess which number and color the little white ball is going to land on, or else you get a poison needle in your fucking neck and die. Yeah.
Couple hunter stickers in my room too. It was annoying. It was annoying.
We gotta up the stakes on gambling like that. It should be real, like death penalty shit in some casinos. You know, people would go for it.
Oh, Russian for sure. Roulette tables, folks. We've been saying it for years.
Oh, and of course, our little bookworm.
Speaking of a gun to your head, here we go.
Christopher Cavan.
Of course. Raoul Walsh was not the first director to have issues with horses. In his movie, The Thief of Baghdad, he cuts between a horse drowning and a fake horse being galloped by three different people. People holding the horse's legs and moving them forward one by one. This
Chris, what?
Creates a,
Chris, what in the what? Fuck?
Great writer, David Bordwell, R.I.P.D.
R.I.P.D. Yes. To David Bordwell. That's I've been reading from one of his books.
The big DB, dude. Yeah.
Past. And it sucks more because he does look almost exactly like I will look like when I'm older. Like bald little cut beard. Like, if this goes white, I'm looking almost exactly like David Bordwell.
One day maybe you'll join him in the afterlife in the fields of planet Hong Kong, where he's residing forever.
Oh man, that would be great. If you get to go to one of his books in the afterlife, that'd be good.
Yeah, like Gumby.
Film comedy.
If St. Peter is like, all right, you could go to regular heaven or you could be Gumby. I'm like, Gumby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I pick Gumby every time. Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Because what do they always say? Like, oh, you'll see all your fucking relatives up there.
Dude. I want to be Moby Dick.
Yeah,
totally.
Fuck around with some blockheads, dude.
Hang out with Tom Sawyer, you know?
Yeah. No, I want Gumby afterlife and I know this is going to be controversial. I don't like the religion itself. But Mormon heaven is pretty sweet, I gotta say.
Really? What is that? What is that?
You get your own planet, right?
You create your own planet. You are the god of your own planet. Like, you get to do whatever you like with your own planet.
Like SimCity kind of a thing?
Yeah.
Dude, so wait a second. Hang on a second.
Like railroad tycoon.
Wait. Which commandment is you shall have no god before me, but then now you're god? What is this?
No, once you're dead, fuck it. I mean, once you're dead.
I mean, more. And also,
you're equal to God once you die.
But it's Mormon, yeah. So it's like a little different. Everything, like, you know, it's a little different.
Hold the fucking phone.
Okay.
You're telling me that these fucking turds that bother me on the subway every weekend, these wieners that are like, will we see you at church on Sunday? And I mostly just ignore them, although a sarcastic barb has been thrown here. You're telling me that those wieners believe that when they die, they will ascend to a god throne on their own planet? I did not know that shit could get any stupider.
The movie that's a men only situation. Taken.
I forget how that goes.
Like, but you're the master of your
domain, yeah.
And then you get your own kind of blah, blah, blah. And then there's many wives as you take and so on and so forth. We're just fucking this up left and right. I'm sure.
Somebody's already said that's Jehovah's Witnesses. So I don't fucking
know. Yeah, exactly. So that's.
But speaking of those people saying stuff in the chat, hello, Carlisle Commons, our favorite shopping center username, Will Plock, Joshua Aldridge, Rose, Knowledge Junkie in the chat. E. Simon says 14. That was the Jehovah's Witness correction there. Alex Hartnett, of course. And holy shit, our buddy Philippe is in the chat. Haven't seen him around in a while.
We'll be talking about him in a second or two. We'll be singing his praises. Also, congratulations, Alex Hartnett. Your brother's having a hell of a year.
Relation there? That would be interesting. I got some birthdays coming up here, fellas. One, a new thing, praising the dead, I like to do when I can find someone of worth. I'll tell you what, today, horror legend Gunnar Hansen would have been 77 years old, the first Leatherface. Look at that fucking other photo. I don't know where that's
from. Is it his death day? He died today? Or did
he No. He would have turned 77. Today is his birthday. He's deceased. I think he died in like 2015 or something like that.
He's getting his cake in hell. You know, that's where he is.
By the way, dying in 2015, underrated.
What fucking newsletter did that guy get?
Oh my God. I wish I could be a god in heaven right now.
But then you wouldn't be able to celebrate the 69th birthday of Catherine O'Hara.
Oh yeah. Nice, by the way.
One of the greatest.
By the way, nice and still would, FYI.
Well, sure. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Of course.
Let's see. We got to... McKelty Williamson. He turns 67 today. Bubba Gump himself.
Nice and still would.
Still would. Three. We're up to three.
And excuse me. It's Limehouse from Justified. Not that...
Get that out of here. Chris, I was trying to say Limehouse from Justified, and Steve cut me off going, I'd fuck Bubba Gump.
We got to fuck all these people. It's the fuck list. Let's go.
Okay. Yeah. Also, I'd also fuck Gunnar Hansen. I would also fuck him.
Currently?
Yeah, sure. What the hell?
That's what his character would have done.
That's true. That's what he would have liked.
It's just like a mound of dirt now. I mean, come on.
What is he taxidermied in his house now? What's the deal?
I don't think so. We can't be doing that to people, right? You can't Mrs. Bates a person.
Ashes or bones? What are we jumping?
Bones. Look, probably. if you're a person who is like a mounted a fan base from like the horror community where it's rife with weirdos, I know I'd be getting cremated. I don't want some fan, fucking lunatic digging my body up, skull fucking me.
What Gunnar would have wanted. Rest in hell, Prince. Rest in hell.
Exactly. Cremation all the way, dude. Yeah. All right, Steve, let's see if this moves the needle for you at all. Steven Weber. He turns 63 today.
Would you still do it?
Remember that insane movie that he was in, The Perfection, from like 5 years ago?
Oh, man.
No.
Oh, man.
Weird fucking movie.
It's who was really it? I'm bad. Sorry. Only 5 years ago, Steven Weber was in a movie?
It was Marnie from Girls.
Yes.
Brian Williams' daughter, Allison Williams.
Yes, okay. Someone else.
And the lead from the TV version of Dear White People.
Yes.
It was like some horror, like thriller, obsessive thing. It's really bad.
It just
like
goes and goes.
Bad. Yeah.
Yes. It goes and goes. And like by the end of it, you're like, we're doing what now? Like, it's that kind of horror movie.
To understand why this has come up, Steve saw a poster with the girl from Dear White People and Allison Williams, like close and kissing kind of.
I don't know about this.
Like, no, let's go.
I watch most Netflix movies, Chris. Wrong. I watch most of them. Wrong.
No, you don't. Movies. You don't watch most of them.
No, I do not.
Netflix doesn't even do that. Are you kidding me?
Come on, man.
And also, somebody finally in our wheelhouse here, turning 59 today. One, Mr. Paul W.S. Anderson.
Nice.
Still good.
I felt bad using this picture because it looks like he's farting.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do?
Maybe he's smelling his own movies. Huh?
Enjoying them a little bit.
Like, a little bit.
Mildly being like, kind of.
That's the good thing about his farts and films.
What's his last movie, that one that had like some religious trouble in China?
It
was called Religious Trouble in China. That was
it's a good title.
It wasn't even religion. It was nurse. What's the rhyme? Dirty knees. There was some rhyme that you would have known from like when you were like a kid. And it says something about the Chinese in it. And a character in the movie does that.
I know what you're talking about now.
I don't know that I could recite it. If I heard it, I'd recognize it now that you said that. Oh, so that was just in this dude's movie? And
the Chinese were not happy about it.
They did not like that. They were not.
Well, way to go, China. You lost yourself $100,000.
Or Monster Hunter? Is that it, Eric?
Yes, it was Monster Hunter. Yeah.
Monster Hunter. Yes, which I saw and thought was all right, but I was drunk and high. Mm-hmm. That was 2020, folks.
That's the Paul W.S. Anderson special right there.
I don't remember the poem, though. So
I mean, I'm sure they're just hanging out when it happens.
Yeah. Well, you know. I guess I hope he has a happy birthday, and I hope his next movie gets released in China. I don't know what to tell you, Chris.
We'll see.
There were a couple movies that were definitely released in China this weekend at the box office. Let's take a look at the numbers. This is Highest Gross. All right, get ready for this. It finally happened. We had multiple God beings at the box office this week, you guys.
Good.
Fine. Yes. First up, the rapture's going to happen.
It happened.
He did it.
Oh.
He did it.
4, 5, 6 is not in there. 7, 8 somehow sneaks in. Interesting.
7, 8 snuck in.
Is Rise Up, that's so Jesus like wakes up the 3 days later? Is that what this is signifying? Or is this like Jesus is coming back and killing all the Romans?
If I may, Eric, I believe what they're telling the audience that they are to rise up, I guess, for the entire movie. Just stand while you watch this movie. Is what you're doing? I guess. I have no idea, really.
Well, this one was only 2 episodes. I think the other 2
were 3
editions of this were 3. Yeah. So you had to come out for the big finale, I guess.
Yeah, I guess these are the supersized episodes, the big ones. Yeah, I guess so 1, 2, 3, obviously that's, you know, the nativity story. You're going to come out for that. 4, 5, 6, what are we making? We're saving people from boats. Like, you know.
Jesus, the college years. Who can exactly.
7, get my ass in the seat for that crucifixion is the idea.
There's so many religious shit in the theater. They need to install like those little like knee seats so you can kneel.
Yes.
You
know?
Kneelers.
Yeah, the prayer.
Yeah, that might be good. I mean, I especially for the front rows, like especially instead of putting your feet up, you can just, you know, bow a little bit.
I got to tell you, that was always one of the like most unsettling parts of going to church as a kid, seeing like the devotion of like these decrepit old people that like these fucking old Catholics, man, they would insist on getting down on that knee. And it's like, and you can hear like the joints fucking destroying inside them. Like, it was brutal. And
it's
then
a lot
like,
of the, work right there.
By the time you get down there, they're already having to stand up again. You know what I mean?
And you're not even guaranteed to own a planet afterwards.
No, not anything like that. And I mean, I would hope, I don't know how this show goes, but I do hope it is like other TV shows and movies in general, where in the 6th episode, like you just meet some guy comes up and they're like, this is my good friend Judas. And it's just like 5 minutes later it ends. Yeah. Like that's, you just get a little bit of him.
He's got a flair for the theatrical, just like you, Jesus.
Yeah. Leaves a calling card, betrayal.
Yes, an ace of spades with Judas and a knife on it.
All that was in his pockets was sand and fish.
Mm-hmm.
No God beings in number 4, unfortunately. Madam Web.
Wow. Yeah. I'm shocked this is even still in the theater.
Honestly, I was surprised that this was in top 5. I was like, come on, Migration, you couldn't fucking pull something here?
Right? This is the ironic ticket buying now.
Yes, it has to be.
Yeah.
3.2 million. What are we looking at here? It's domestically at the moment, 40 mil. and 91 mil global at a $110 million budget. It is confirmed to be a not money-making Gigundo failure for Stony.
That's it.
I mean, there is. I'm not sure so much about the irony. I feel like there's a couple of these people, and they're mostly men, I have to assume, are going to this every other day and mounting at, much like the guy who is trying to. Oh, thank God, Philippe. much like the guy who was,
ironically, yes,
who was trying to, figure out like how who actually killed JFK, like the movie that JFK is based on. Yeah. They're building a case of how Madam Web is good. They're like trying to get every little detail in there, right? They got notebooks with them. There's New York welcome bags with them.
I'm sorry. I will not be having any contrarian case for Madam Web. It's not even, can't be.
It's going to happen. Oh, it's happening, baby. Don't you worry.
No contrarian cases made for number three. Ordinary Angels sitting right where it was last week.
I love this poster. He's got the magic baby. And it's like a lot of these things. It's like, my baby is like Jesus too. He's special.
Very special.
Every baby's like Jesus.
It's true. Yeah.
See, this is one of these movies though. So like within that, whatever the company is that gave you Jesus Revolution, this is like a sneakier one. Because I asked a relative of mine who mentioned she saw it on like a they do those like Regal, I think AMC does them too, like sneak. You don't know what the movie is. You just go in Mystery Movie Mondays or whatever the fuck. And I was like, oh, so you saw this like super Jesus movie. And she was like, actually, it's not that Jesus-y. And this is the strategy with these folks. Release something that's like kind of got the value. Yeah. And then like the next one, you're amping up the messaging after you lure people in.
Ugh. Ugh. I mean, I do like that. I mean, it sounds weird, but like, I do kind of prefer this getting the money to Madam Web. If we're going to get that, like, if we're going to give it to it, I'm a little bit more happy it's this piece of garbage.
Listen, and I said the same thing about The Chosen. I have no interest or desire to engage in fucking Christian entertainment whatsoever. However, there's a place for that for these people, and I'm glad they're going out to the movies for it. So, like, whatever. I'll never fucking watch this shit. I have so many better ways I can waste
time. Keep them in the theater so they don't knock on my goddamn door again.
Yes, Eric, that's true. But also, you know these people. They're used to going to a place on the weekend no matter what their mood.
Yeah, it's true.
Getting them into the movies is a great idea, frankly.
Like they congregate. Mm. Oh, right. They were to congregate.
Maybe get some of them into migration.
The movies is my church, man. I went twice this weekend. Here we go at number two. Bob Marley, One Love, still holding in here. Week three, nicely another 7.4 mil. This movie now officially in the black with 71 million domestic and $146 million global. Holy moly. Wow,
smoking up the box office. Folks. True.
I mean, if this leads us to a John Prine biopic, I'm almost happy. I'm almost getting to a place where I may be
you're
okay.
You're not going to get a John Prine.
No, I feel like this is going to push over the hump the Michael Jackson biopic, which is a terrible, terrible, terrible idea.
Oh, it's going to
That's going to be that pervert rest in piss and enjoy his music. That's like separate it. It's just like you can enjoy his music if you want, blah, blah, blah. We don't need to celebrate the life.
But imagine the montage of where he put all his hands. And
we're going to ignore that somehow.
Oh, of course it will be ignored.
Yeah. Or, I mean, I would prefer, you know what? Fair is fair. Let them do it. Part one, Christopher Columbus. Part two, Gaspar Noé.
Oh, got it.
You know, you get both sides of the coin. You know, you get to play a little bit. It's fine.
I would imagine that would be a less anticipated part two than a Dune part two, which was no shock to be number one at the box office.
Look at this. Wow. That is only a few million less than Solo, A Star Wars Story's opening weekend.
Someone's carrying a grudge. I love it.
A little bit.
Yeah, man. 81.5 million. Let's check out the Patreon poll. So yeah, pretty much, you know, our patrons were right on it. Pretty much, I'm going to give it 81.5. That rounds up to 82. I mean, it was supposed to do between like 71 and 80. So it's right where people thought it would be. For once, tracking actually works. Massive success. What was the global number again? Was that $179 million globally? 48% of that was premium large format shit like IMAX and all that nonsense, of which I participated in. 23% of that.
I'm happy that IMAX is having such a resurgence, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It used to be just like, here you could watch like a nature doc about a sad duck or, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Or then it's just like I Am Legend or some dumb movie that doesn't even take, doesn't even use the format.
Don't you stop. Will you stop besmirching the Mopey Mallard? Okay. It was a great movie. It was really beautiful. And you're just going to fucking talk like that all
I'm
the time.
I'm sorry, Chris. I'm sorry.
God damn it.
I remember the first IMAX thing I ever saw was at the Boston Science Museum. We went on a field trip in fifth grade, and there was a documentary about Titanic. I don't know if I've told this before, but it was really cool. Like, you're seeing all, like, IMAX footage of the underwater wreckage and everything. But then, like, the first time it cut to the interview of a survivor, there was just this four-story, like, 103-year-old lady on the screen.
Nice.
I was like, this is not what this should be used for. Nah. They had not yet perfected, like, changing aspect ratios based on, like, what you were looking at. So it was just this stretched old woman. It was very terrifying.
Similar to my first IMAX experience. It was in New Jersey, kind of a field trip thing. Uh-huh. And it's just like, look, it's water. And there's, like, animals in it. And it's like...
Right. I mean, I think the IMAX thing, it's a big directors with vision getting big projects again. I would have loved to see. I mean, I know the politics aren't great in it, but Sicario on IMAX probably would have ruled. I would have loved that. But like if now giving Villeneuve and Nolan, of course, are like the big guys now. They can do shit like this and really carry an audience over to that format.
But it's amazing, though, to me, like, it's now proven itself to be a screening experience that doesn't have to be reserved for just, like, big, huge spectacle things. I saw fucking Killers of the Flower Moon in IMAX, and it was incredible. I am all for this revolution in IMAX, for sure. Also around the box office, A24's Problemista finally opened after getting kicked down the road a lot. Just a few screens, 141K, I think on five screens. Yeah, five screens.
What's this one about? I haven't seen anything about this. He like lost his wallet. Is that what I'm seeing?
I just saw the trailer. He's a guy that is...
My wallet's gone!
He's undocumented and he's trying to get his citizenship and something. He has to work for Tilda Swinton for a period of time and she's a maniac. And like, it's like a dark comedy, I think, about those things and the art world in general, mark.
Yeah.
That's my guess. It looked pretty good.
Yeah, no, it had huge buzz around it. I don't know where it first bowed. Like, I don't know if it was a Sundance. It might have been Sundance last year, and then just was, like, kicked down the road with strikes and shit. Or actually, I don't know, because A24 got the pass for all this. So I don't know what took this movie so long to come out, but it's finally sort of getting what am I trying to say? Platformed a little bit here, limited release. It'll probably be streaming for most people, PVOD. I don't know how much of a theatrical, birth it's going to get here. But anyway, I'm very curious about it. I was glad that it's out. So we shall see. That's the box office gang. We will, of course, be talking about Dune at great length in a little bit. But there's a couple of things I had to have us get eyes on here. Some coming attractions that. Tickled my fancy. The first one is for Chris Cabin almost exclusively, and the other one is it's for all of us. Let's check it out in a segment we like to call Trailer Segment. Now, Chris Cabin, Kevin Costner's Horizon in American Saga.
To be clear, I am not the biggest Costner head.
This is Eric.
Eric. Eric is Costner.
I'm excited for this. Oh, put this in IMAX.
Yes,
I was just saying,
I bet you they will.
Because Eric, I was just saying Chris because he's such a fucking Yellowstone head.
I'm a huge fan
of Yellowstone.
That's true. I've seen 3 episodes of it. I'm a huge fan.
You can't stop talking about it.
I went on the Minion Death Cult podcast to talk about it. It is one of the most ridiculous shows you've ever seen in your life. Wow.
Look at this. The expert on Yellowstone traveling around talking all about it.
And this, I mean, like, you just can clearly see it in that, like, this is like, I know he's done cowboy stuff before, but like, this feels like he's like, well, now I got him back. I can do the big bullshit Western.
Yeah.
6-hour one or whatever thing is.
Let him cook, dude.
Whatever. Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
We're talking Wyatt on June 28th for chapter 1 and August the 16th for chapter 2. I have to say, if you're a huge Kevin Costner Western fan, you have less of a weight than me and my fellow Dune heads. I'm pretty jealous about that. Yeah. You know, honestly, I'm going to see this in theaters. A big sprawling whatever the fuck
you gotta do
it. I'm gonna have to watch the trailer first.
To say, if this ends the same way Dune Messiah ends, that would be interesting. If Kevin Costner ends the same way, you know, not to bring anybody anywhere, but
he becomes like a giant horse or something.
yes please.
Dude, if Costner turned into a horse at the end of this fucking chapter 2
and then Ruth Riley sues the shit out of him, that'd be great.
Yeah, good call. All right, here we go. Folks at home, if you are watching along with us and want to watch this trailer, check out the show information below. And while you're there, by the way, like this video, subscribe to the channel, tell your friends about the shit. All those video likes, y'all, those help us lift the profile of this this live stream here. So, all right, here we go. Horizon : An American Saga. Here's the first trailer for this new Kevin Costner Western. In 3, 2, 1, go.
So saga means I'm not getting out of here in 2.5 hours.
That's opinion. Right. Yep. Saga equals long ass movie.
I mean, it's a 3-minute trailer. That's long already.
Absolutely.
I mean, look
new
at
Lion Cinema.
This looks great.
At least he's wearing navy blue is all I can say.
It looks like we're filming outside.
Yep, we're outside. Look at this. That's real grass. This return to practical shit, dudes, with like this, with Dune being in the desert. I'm loving it.
Now, the question is,
are the navy blue the bad guys?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. I gotta watch.
This mustache on him? Yes.
It's not bad, the mustache, dude. It's now, push broomier than usual.
The question, of course, is always, how much of his dick will he be sucking?
That is always the question. Need a little bit, you know? Get him the confidence.
It's a movie that's broken up into 2 huge parts. I mean, deep-throating himself.
I see the overall sucking. I need to see the inner workings of the suck, too.
Well, that's going to be... You got to wait for theaters, dude.
I don't want... I need to see it now.
Now, Chris, as the Yellowstone expert...
yes, sir.
Is this photography better than the show, at least?
Well, for sure. I mean, it's a TV show versus an actual movie. I mean, look at this.
Oh, my God.
This actually looks good.
Luke Wilson. That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Oh, is that Luke Wilson? I thought it was Jim Caviezel.
Who burned down their house? Freed slaves, and now I have to go get them? Is that what's going on?
That's right. They're Texas bounty hunters. That's what
they're saying. Got it. Look at that mustache, though.
I hope it gets its own credit. Mm-hmm. Or in the credit. Was that Giovanni Ribisi?
Yeah,
dude. It's a stacked cast. You got Michael Rooker in this, apparently. Will Patton. There's tons of people in this.
Looked like Klaus Kinski back there.
You couldn't keep Michael Rooker out of this movie, dude. He just showed up day one with a hat on. Like, well, where do you want me?
You can't keep Michael Rooker out of any movie. Michael Rooker will be in your movie.
Like, what is even happening? Like, what do we know what this is based upon or what time period?
It's an American saga, apparently.
Uh-huh, got it.
It's about America. This is what happens in America. Wagons get turned on fire and flip over. You're taking your basket from the creek when you were washing your linens.
Uh-huh.
Well,
you're kicking guys.
Dude, what a power kick.
Oh, that was Rooker there.
That was Rooker.
Yeah. Yep.
First time I've seen a blue face makeup in a little while, so I'm happy to do that.
Steve, as far as time period, I'm just going to wager late 1800s.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah.
Yes. Fucking finally.
Looks like
we got ourselves a bad man right here.
Let Is that who I was dealing with there?
I did not recognize that young fella.
That might be. I mean, I hope.
Oh,
I
my
hope
God.
That
Jeff Fahey name in the trailer.
He's there. Whoa. He is also there.
Oh, Jenna Malone in the trailer.
I do really hope that the message of this movie, much like Yellowstone, is that the Native Americans have gotten a little too greedy. You know, I do hope that that's worked in there because it's an important message from white man Kevin Costner into the material.
It's 6 hours of him saying, like, I got a right to live here, too.
Yes. Why do they get all the casinos?
Oh, my God.
I just hope that this movie is Kevin Costner just killing evil white people. And
that'd be fun.
It looks good to me.
Odds are that shit's not going to be handled well, but we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see how it goes. But listen, this is, you know, in its own way, and I'm not making comparisons to other events from last year, but like, this is another, it's a cinematic event, whether you like it or not. It's another big theatrically released cinematic event. Good on Warner Brothers. Really, you know, the difference between how they're treating shit now between Dune 2 and, you know, this Horizon movie versus the fucking day and date dump of Dune 1 on a platform that doesn't exist anymore. So we'll see.
The likelihood of the event from last year, like, last year, Oppenheimer got the whole damn fucking thing.
Yeah.
This is going to be strictly 45 up. Like, and like a couple of us 40 to 45 year olds trickling in there because we miss Kevin Costner.
But you know, bring a few more of those kicks in the trailer, you might get the younger folks in there.
Right. Maybe.
But bring the older folks back to the theater, right? Like Top Gun Maverick did really well because of that. Also, in from Wikipedia, set during the American Civil War, apparently. Uh-huh. So the guys in blue would be the good guys.
Still. I would hope so. I mean,
Ride with the Devil came out in theaters, and that is like the main characters of that are for the South. So
yeah, yep.
Culture.
Little bit of a less polarized time when Ride with the Devil was released.
98, 99, not so much. Yeah.
So we will see. But in the meantime, we got to turn our sights to another Kevin. Holy fucking shit, you guys. Kevin Spacey is back. Kevin Spacey with his wig is back.
Can I be
Peter 5'8"? Oh, can I be Peter 5'8 for a second? Yes,
oh,
dude.
Oh, my Lord.
Look at this dog shit. Invincible Pictures releasing this stunningly limited on March the 22nd. So, like, listen, you guys, Peter 5'8 is right around the corner.
Are we getting a direct VOD as well? I'm hoping so.
It would have to be day and date. I can't imagine.
That's going to be me, like the kids with the Harry Potter books at midnight. Fucking like outside of the voodoo clicking, like, come on, has it uploaded yet? Come on now, give it to me.
That wig is crippling. It's crippling me. I just, every time you know what I mean? Like, how am I supposed to go on when that wig exists?
I also don't, like, there's just no way this is better than the Tucker interview as a work. Mm-hmm. Like, just watching that as like a work of entertainment, I mean, there's just no way it can match it. Just can't do it.
Good point, Chris. I'm shocked that he's not doing Daily Wire movies yet.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, please,
do it.
He could have added
only for a raunchy sex scene of Kevin Spacey and Gina Carano. Could you imagine it? Come here, you.
God. two fucking logs going at it.
As compared to what will be a medium well done sex between him and Rebecca De Mornay in this, I guess.
Oh, there's sex in this, Chris?
Well, I guess we'll have to watch and find out. I have previewed this trailer and it's pretty silly, you guys.
Okay.
So here we go. Once again, folks at home, the link is down here in the show information. While you are there, like this video, subscribe to the channel. All right. The official, as the YouTube page tells us, as if someone's going to be bootlegging this trailer, the official Peter 5'8 theatrical trailer starting in 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, we got a car. Invincible is real, like, try and cancel this asshole. Yeah. I'm invincible.
Yep.
Look at it.
Dude, listen to the voice.
Is he doing the voice? Yeah, he's doing the voice.
Underwood.
Yeah. You want something?
Oh Lord! Oh my God! Him at the pool. Oh, he's kissing her.
Get it, fucking.
Yes, sir.
This is wild.
Oh man, look, the wig is doing all the work here, guys.
Is this like, oh, she's a lesbian? I have to kill her. Like, what's going on?
That's
here?
Right.
I found her.
Yep.
She's here. Oh.
Well, this at least looks like it was filmed in the United States. I don't know. I didn't know he was allowed back in.
Yeah. Now Sarajevo doubles pretty well for the United
yes,
States.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Dude, I don't like the kind of soft lighting we're doing here. The police
isn't in your. We're wearing these turtlenecks because he's like a hitman.
Oh, look at that hat! Did you see the hat?
Yeah,
I saw the hat.
Oh, sure. That's how that goes.
Philippe in the chat saying it was filmed in Eastern Europe, and I'm saying, hey, man, Eastern Europe is looking great.
That's a fake fucking explosion.
That was the worst explosion I've ever seen.
Oh,
there's no hope for that. I'm a
fallen soul. Oh, come on. Do you get it?
Yeah, that's good.
Dude, I am renting the ever-loving fuck out of this.
You're going to support... You're saying publicly you're going to support Kevin Spacey. Interesting.
Absolutely. What... What's it gonna do? What's it, what, I'm buy him a new house by 1999? No, I just need to know what it is as a, for my job.
I mean, right. I mean, yes. There has to be this has to be working towards a cross. The Steven Seagal Kevin Spacey movie has to be in the works somewhere.
I would love that.
It has to be happening because I don't see the two most canceled men of in America going off to Eastern Europe together to really have a fun day together. With some guns, and of course, I assume, I don't know, who would be there? Some Romanians, I guess they'd probably kill, I don't know.
Well, wasn't this the movie that, isn't this the Franco Nero tax shelter movie? I think...
Oh, well, he's directing
what they're hiding... No, I think what they're hiding here is he's like a villain in it or something?
I would be very disappointed if my boy Franco Nero's in this.
Because Andrew is right. There was something with Franco Nero and Kevin Spacey together.
Oh my God.
I'm not sure if it's this.
It's not. Okay, maybe it's.
This is not directed by Franco Nero. This is
the man.
No one was saying it was directed by Franco Nero. Except
the man who drew God apparently is going to be.
I guess it
already happened. 2022 drama film directed by Franco Nero, starring Nero, Kevin Spacey, and Faye Dunaway.
Oh, I was mixing up Faye Dunaway and Rebecca De Mornay.
My God. Robert Davi's in it, Chris.
Add this to the list of movies that need to get leaked. This, Coyote versus Acme or whatever.
Right. Batgirl will get there. Yeah.
Batgirl, yeah, got these. The list is getting longer, folks.
Did you see that thing from Will Forte?
Yeah, it was a nice little note.
He was like, I watched the movie. It's great. Everybody did a great job. This is fucking terrible.
No one will ever see it.
Yep. Will Forte, I hope you had your fucking phone out in the screening room.
Me and Cameron might want to go see it, you know. We're good friends, me and Cameron, and we would like to go see your movie.
Yeah, all this time Chris Cavan's saying he's going to watch this Kevin Spacey movie. I know who he's watching it with. Don't worry about that. You don't have to worry about
Kevin?
No, with Cameron.
Oh, with
you don't
Cameron.
Have to worry
oh,
about
no,
any
no, no.
fucking
oh, no.
wallets and, getting flipped.
Please, they don't need a cam of that. That'll be leaked perfect when it comes out.
Hey, speaking of being perfect when it happens, we're going on tour this spring, which is pretty fucking exciting, man. First up, Atlanta, Georgia. We're at City Winery on 425 talking Gamer. It's a movie that I'm pretty sure, even though I haven't seen it, Kevin Spacey is not in. Is
He's
that
definitely
right?
not in. It's Gerard. Ooh, not in.
Believe so. Maybe a cameo.
Michael C. Hall.
Here I come, Gerard Butler.
Ooh. I'm excited to be doing this voice in front of people.
Yeah,
City Winery staff. Dude, there's going to be some dude like washing dishes at City Winery. Like, what the fuck is that noise coming from out there? What are those fat guys doing?
What Shrek movie are they talking about? Doesn't make any sense.
Did somebody put their phone in a food disposal? What was that sound right there?
And then in May, we're doing two dates in the Lone Star State, y'all. First up, Houston. We want your asses.
Yeah.
To get to the Houston Improv, we're talking RoboCop 2.
That's right.
Going to be a fucking fun one, man. Little kid gangsters, nuke, all sorts of shit.
Going to be a hell of a show. And Texas, there's two shows not too far apart. Come to both. Do a little road trip.
We're road tripping. You should road trip. Why not?
Yeah, the WHM Road Trip Challenge.
I like it. I like that. Road Rules WHM Challenge.
That's right. We'll have, maybe we should come up with like little things to do in the car for them if anyone partakes.
Oh, there you go. I like that. Yeah, and then the very next night, we got a haul ass from Houston up over to Austin. We're talking From Dusk Till Dawn at Cap City Comedy.
Yeah.
Now, this is a We Love Movies par excellence right here.
I'm very excited. One of my favorite George Clooney movies, honestly. I'm trying to think about it. You know, top of,
yeah.
Probably the top five. I mean, certainly a lot of his directorial debut situations are, yeah. I'm not rewatching, oh God, Syriana, not doing that.
No.
Right. I remember liking, did he do The American? Did he direct that as well?
He didn't direct it, but he's in it.
I just rewatched The American.
Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. I like that.
I don't want to rewatch.
Yeah. Good Night, Good Luck is good. Still good.
Yeah. Great. Yeah.
Steve, you booked your appointment at the tattoo studio for your Boys in the Boat work that you're going to get. You love that movie so much.
Yeah. So good. Of course. Yeah.
And Memorial Men tattoos as well.
Oh, Monuments
Men. Tall, pasty white men just did a boat. Love it.
That Monuments Men was one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Pretty horrible.
I think they make a joke about that being bad in A Very Merry Christmas, if I remember correctly. Yeah. So. WHMpodcast.com. All the tour info is there. Tickets on sale now. It's coming up fast, man. You don't want to get caught with your pants down. Got to get these ticks. All right, so let's do our best to not screw Steve over here, because we got to talk about Dune 2, folks.
Well, don't worry about it. What I'm going to do, because I'm such a spoiler phobe, I'm removing my headphones. I'm going to be reading an X-Men comic.
Okay. Okay.
And when you're done talking about Dune, just give me a wave.
Sure.
And then I'll come back.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right.
You guys Steve. Go nuts. You guys are Dune heads. So you guys. Yeah.
Okay.
You know what's funny too? It's if you've seen David Lynch's Dune, you kind of know what this one is.
Yeah. The rough outline, at least. Yeah. You get what's happening with the baby, at least.
There's a pretty big change from the book. You know, that sort of informs the end of this chapter. So not gonna talk about that, because I know some people have not seen it yet. I'll just go out first. I think I'm probably pretty obvious here. I fucking loved it. I saw it twice in the span of 37 hours. I saw it on Friday morning. I went in IMAX. It was amazing. And then Saturday night, me and some buds got some dinner. Chris Cabin, you were there.
Hello.
And then I shuffled off to the theater with that. One of our buds there saw it again, not in IMAX. Saw it at the Empire 25, which that theater needs a fucking cleansing. It's disgusting.
It's going to fall down one of these days. Don't worry. Any day now, that thing's just going to crumble.
Yeah, that's not a great one.
No. Like, if you're not in that like big Dolby theater that they have on the main floor there, if you have to take the second escalator, you're fucked. Like, I seriously thought about burning my jeans. really, really bad. But anyway, I'm in like the third book now. I'm like halfway through the third book. I'm a full on Dune head. I said it on Letterboxd. Watching this movie, on Friday was me like consuming the water of life and fully embracing my inner Dune-ness. I thought it was fucking great. I have no complaints about it. What I do like doing is reading like certain film critics who like it didn't work for them, and it's fine if a movie doesn't work for you, but like when the reasons are kind of like not great, I'm like, were you paying attention to the movie? Which has been kind of entertaining. You guys saw it. What did you think, Eric?
I loved it as well. Probably not as much as the resident Dune spurt. but I loved, especially like the start, like you just like getting into this with the, those Harkonnen guys with their like little flight packs. I thought was really cool. There was a lot of cool shit like that. I mean, I can't not compare it to Lynch's just because the second half of Lynch's is very similar to this because it's the story. And I almost wish that I didn't know anything about Dune so I could have really experienced it for the first time this way.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I totally see that.
I mean, it's interesting because we've talked about this before in different ways, but I had a similar situation with, I finished reading No Country for Old Men literally 30 minutes before I saw the movie. Sure. And it is one of those adaptations that is exactly like the book. I think you get a little teeny bit more Woody Harrelson in the book, but most of that stuff is directly from.
You get a little more Woody Harrelson, but so what? So what?
I found this one much more. I really like the first one. I like them about equal. What I like more about this one is I found it way more propulsive. We're done with the setup. We don't got to worry about no setup anymore. And there isn't. And he's a confident enough director where he's not bringing us back to but remember again.
Thank God for that. Yeah,
that would have killed it. That would have absolutely destroyed this. But he knows that he did. He took a whole movie to do the setup so he can play now and just have fun with it. And it runs. It just runs on its own. Like you have so much less. I mean, to my view, the Baron matters so much less in this as compared to what Paul is doing in the desert with the Fremen. And there is a similar movie. They try doing something like this with the Hunger Games movie, that movie that's mostly them in that like underground bunker thing.
The third book was broken up into two movies. And the first part of the third book. So that third movie is like, you're just down there. Like, when are we getting to the fireworks factory?
And the idea is that you're supposed to be, she is also supposed to be creating a rebellion in that place. And they just do it so much better here. And like acting is just so much better, but also like it looks fantastic. All the floating soldiers are great. All the little notes like that are great. I love that bit, the shield, on the fortress at the end with the silver ball that's on fire. I thought that was fantastic.
Some good comedy too. Stilgar making me belly laugh.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Javier, man, he fucking rules in this movie. You know, every time in my second screening, it was a late night screening. So it was a little rowdier, not terribly bad or anything, but like people I think were just a little looser. And so there was a little less reverence. And so every fucking Javier, you know, anytime there's the what he perceives to be a confirmation of Lisan El Gaib, you know, and he yells Lisan El Gaib, it just was like bringing these guffaws from people. And it's funny, he's entertaining, but also you feel fucking terrible for him. And you know, Chris, your point about the Baron not mattering as much, right? And the Emperor's kind of always an afterthought towards the end of the story in a way, but like it's the way to do it, because I'm sorry, folks. Like, if you're one of these people writing about this movie and you're talking about the hero Paul Atreides, Paul is not a fucking hero. Paul is 100% an anti-hero. Like, finish the story and see what they're saying here at the end of this movie and what he's going on to do. This kid ain't no hero.
Listen, a billion people are going to die anyway. Right? What are you going to do? All right.
We're just making it all happen around the same time.
And to your point earlier, Chris, you're right. They could have easily done a previously on, and I'm really glad they didn't.
No, yeah. And I'm glad that's not in the script either. But to what you were saying, Andrew, it's important for them to think he's a hero. Like, I don't think you can just like skip that step and be like, no, understand he's an anti-hero now. Like, now in the feeling, like I was with them, I was like, oh my god, like I would follow this guy if I was a Fremen. I would 100% be following this guy.
I'm not talking about the characters, Chris. I'm talking about the people writing about this movie after they've seen the entire thing.
What they're saying?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, okay. No, that's what I was saying when I'm reading certain people and I'm reading them watch this movie incorrectly and then complain about it, but they have certain facts wrong, and it's just kind of funny to me. That's all. But in the story, you totally understand.
Yeah, like them calling him a hero, it makes sense, at least in a certain sense. I mean, they haven't all read Messiah. They can't really know what's about to happen. But like, what I love about it is that you also get the villains are more textured. Like, first, I don't know how I got past this. I really like Zendaya now. She's fantastic in this.
Zendaya is so fucking good in this movie. Yes, absolutely.
I was shocked how much, and they give her a lot to do. They give her a character with a lot of texture to her. I was kind of shocked how much I stuck with her the whole time. And she is, I mean, if you are looking for like a real hero in the movie, I think she's probably the closest to an actual hero. And also the stuff with Austin Butler and David Bautista, all that stuff done in like three big-ish scenes, but done really well. And you get everything you need from them. The gladiator scene with Faye Rotha is my phenomenal. God.
And black and white, because it's the sun or something of the
black
planet.
Hole sun. Yeah, the black hole
very
sun, baby.
Cool. Very cool visuals in that sequence.
Yeah, no, I thought Austin Butler was like straight up terrifying. And even though like they boost the profile here versus like what you hilariously see of Sting, you know, in the Lynch movie, it doesn't feel like too crowded or anything. It's really fascinating. I love all the stuff, the sequence with him and oh Lord Almighty, now the French actress there playing Léa Seydoux there, that whole sequence, her seduction of him everything. Really cool stuff. It's and Walken, man, like that's another, you know, you're watching a Christopher Walken performance in 2024 and it's like, how is this going to play?
Oh my God, dude. I wanted to start cheering in my theater when he was like, you underestimate my sadakas.
It's so awesome, but it's like, thankfully not cartoonish. I mean, Denis Villeneuve can direct actors and, you know, has directed actors of at all levels and everything. So like, thankfully it's like, hey man, we don't want you to be memed like after this movie comes out. So like, dial back like what the internet expects you to talk and sound like. There's no point in this movie where he tries a little dance move, you know. I was like watching all the scenes, like does he even do like a little like skip or something really quickly? He does not. I thought he's great, and it's like it's a very thankless role in a way, you know. It's not a meaty role at all, and so I thought it was really cool that you had someone like Chris Walken be game for it and still do really well with what little there is.
And in that way, it's like it's a restrained movie in a way, because you could imagine them just going nutty with it. And I'm glad that they didn't. And it's just it like the first movie feels like a defined piece of work. It is well crafted and it is meant to be what it is.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. I think they give Walken enough, like, because he has to be powerful to a certain degree, but he has to be frail and a little comical. Like, he can't be cartoonish, but you have to be also able to be like why they would not take him seriously. And like, honestly, the voice is what helps it. Like, not telling him to restrain that part of him. Like, he's not doing it all over the place, but like, you hear the kind of thing about his voice.
You do. Yeah.
And that, I think, adds to when it's in those, you know, in those final moments when it's there. It's questioning like what's legacy, what's going to happen next with this whole universe. Like that to me, it matters that you have a guy like that who has that stature, but also can play frail very smartly like that.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's the great shot of him when the Baron comes into the temple on Arrakis, but when you know they all come down like, you're fucking up at work, what's going on down here, you know, the fucking district manager comes to inspect the spice harvest, and Walken is kind of, he's got this great pose in the chair, you know, that's both like weak looking because he's a frail old man at this point, you know, but like it's also very menacing, and sort of you could see like at some point earlier in his life, you know, Emperor Shaddam the Fourth, like that was a bad motherfucking guy, you know. throw out here, our buddy Josh Gray says, Lisan Al Gaib. He's seen it 3 times and can't wait to see it again and again. And I agree.
Nice.
I feel like we could go forever here, but we're coming up to 1 o'clock. We do have some other stuff to get to. Yeah, so nice. I think at this point, I'm going to wave Steve in. Steve, there we go. There we go. Back to it, Steve.
But I was really surprised when DiCaprio comes out at the end.
Oh, yeah, my God. Yes, DiCaprio's in there, and
I was surprised.
He's doing
that. He was inside the worm. He was there inside the worm saying, hello, everybody. Yeah,
Jonah inside the worm. Yeah, that's him.
So Steve, surprisingly, we all liked it.
That's what I was surprised about. I follow you guys at Letterboxd. I know what's going on.
Right, you know what's up. So we're running short on time here. I guess I'll just say, you know, for next Monday, we will be talking about Hollywood's Biggest Night, which is, you know, Sunday night. So we'll have our recap. I will say, in update for Best Picture viewing, I'm almost done. We watched Past Lives last night. I think I liked it better than the fellas who have seen it here in this room. It's sort of like aggressively was my speed. I thought it was a really, really beautiful movie. That end scene with the bar, yeah, I probably would have got up and gone to the bathroom a couple of times, you know.
That I'm not leaving my fucking credit card down for that, I'll tell you that much. That's
absolutely, man. But dude, like top three cinematic pucks, John McGarrow in that movie. Holy fuck. Holy fuck.
Well, you know, for the Oscars next weekend, right? Is it next weekend?
Yeah, next Sunday.
Wow. Yep. All you need to know is one word, and it sounds like two. Oppenheimer.
I'm rooting for an Oppenheimer sweep. I could see a Poor Things thing happening a little bit, maybe.
That would be unfortunate.
I think Emma's a lock at this point.
And she's great. She's great in that movie.
I feel like Giamatti's not going to happen. I think the momentum's no longer there since Killian took the SAG award.
Yes, that's what kills me, man, honestly, because like as I you know, it's a real tough decision. I really love Killian, but like, You know, I've loved Giamatti longer, and I want this for Giamatti so fucking bad because, like, he's a character actor that's often just in supporting roles, and this is a lead acting nomination for this dude. It's never going to happen to him again in his life.
Yeah.
Never?
You know what I mean?
What?
To have a movie that he stars in
I hope he can achieve it again.
I hope he uses this to sort of, you know,
get more.
Yeah, I'm not ready to do his funeral.
He's been on TV forever. That's been sort of
Killian has really been his thing now.
I mean, yeah, Killian's kind of in a similar boat, right? He's done lot of TV, not really a main leading man.
A journeyman kind of a deal. They're both really worthwhile. I mean, if that's the 50-50 shot, I'm happy with it.
Split it. Split the Oscar. Cut it in half.
Yeah. And then I'd rather Killian get it. And they're like, then you deserve the Oscar.
Now we bring it back around to religion here, folks.
Of course.
Right.
I think you need to have the fan bases of Peaky Blinders and Billions fight each other to the death. And whoever wins, you know, that's who gets it. That's it.
That makes sense.
You know, the whole thing. I don't want the night at the Oscars. I want just a big bloody fight, and then one of them wins.
I mean, yeah, I would much rather Lily Gladstone win for Killers of the Flower Moon than Emma Stone fingering herself with a dumb expression on her face. But, you know, but I mean,
I thought they were both good.
They were, I mean, sure.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree with you, Steve. I don't say that I soured on that movie since I've seen it, but I just like, enough is enough. You know, like it's one of those, it's a movie I thought was like fine. People like it a lot less than I did in some corners, which is understandable. But for me, it was just like, I don't think it's a premier Yorgos movie at all.
I think maybe I like it the most out of all these guys, but at the same time, I never thought it was an Oscar movie.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's what's kind of surprising. And it does, Chris, I think you mentioned this at some point when we were talking about like Oppie. Maybe it's on the Oppie We Love Movies or something, but this does feel, and again, I think it's because we have two Oscar contenders that were released in late July of last year. This just feels like the longest like Oscar year, like the longest road to the Oscars. And I just cannot wait for it to be over with, honestly.
Yeah, I would like it to happen finally and just be done with it. Cause I mean, I have my thoughts, but like, I assume it's all going to just be thrown up in the air. Once the only one that I'm like, I'll be shocked if it doesn't happen. I guarantee you Zone of Interest is winning Best Foreign. Like that just seems, they really, all the other ones, I was like, what? Really? In a year like this, you picked four, like,
I know,
movies, like whatever movies to up against Zone of Interest. Okay. All right.
They should not be able to hold a candle to that movie. It'll be very surprising. Although I forgot to look and see if any of those non-English, the international titles there, if any of them are distributed by Sony Pictures Classics, because they still have some weird juju over the Academy where like they will just have a movie that they won't release till like April. No one has seen it and that one will win. This has happened so many times over the years and you're like, who has it? Oh, Sony Classics. So I don't know, but I'm rooting for A24 and Zone of Interest for that for sure. So more to that next week, folks. But the big thing, as we got to start wrapping up here, we are announcing a new Patreon show, which is pretty nuts.
And we gave you a big clue today already. Can you guess what it is?
That's right. Steve's clue. Here we go, folks. Coming up, starting later this month, as a matter of fact. New show, the top tier Walsh slot on Patreon. Too old for this shit. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Look at that Philippe art. Right,
it's
there.
A podcast about Danny Glover.
It is an X-Men 97 recap show that we're going to be doing on Patreon, top tier, patrons only. And you want to be on the top tier Patreon. You get everything that we do, which is so much goddamn content. You get all of our commentaries, which are fantastic. You get all of our old Star Wars show recaps, Melrose 210, which is fantastic.
Ad-free episodes. Everything is there. It is it's worth your time, folks.
Now, we should say, though, Steve, that this Too Old for Shit, this first outing, this first grouping of episodes for Too Old for This Shit will be X-Men 97. Yes. But, folks, this is indeed an umbrella show where we're going to be covering all sorts of stuff as they come along. So this is not going to be a show where it's like Melrose 210, the Nexus, where, you know, year round, every month there's an episode offering. This is going to be when things like cartoons like this, maybe some of those Marvel shows, but we want to branch out. We want to get off Disney Plus. So things that sort of come our way that we think might fit under this banner of Too Old for This Shit, we're going to cover it on there. Starting out late March, this X-Men 97, it comes out the 20th. So we still have a few more weeks to get ready for that. But the first season of that, we will cover on Too Old for This Shit. I'm so fucking excited. I was going back through old, like the 92 cartoon. That's good tuning.
I think they're dropping like two episodes to start. So I think we're covering two episodes at a time on this one.
That's what we're going to try to do. So there's not a ton of, we're not recording 10 different times. Maybe it's just five or whatever the season length is. But at least two episodes covered in each edition of this round of Too Old for This Shit. So very excited about that. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. You want to get there and sign up because, unfortunately, folks, if you're not, you're missing out. The vast majority of what we do is on there. And it's a lot of fun.
Yes, there's the archive, the first 100 or so episodes. There is so much to dig through. Just check out patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Tool around. See if it's right for you.
That's right. But that's going to do it for this week, gang. If you're still playing catch up from last week, of course, We Hate Movies. We had a great episode drop with our buds from Dead Meat. Chelsea and James came on to help us talk about Leprechaun 3. By the way, check over their Dead Meat YouTube channel. They just did the Dead Meat Horror Awards yesterday. You can check that out. A lot of fun there. And then also we did drop the Nexus, talking about two pretty decent episodes of Star Trek. That was a lot of fun. But the cool thing is we are now in March, folks, which means tomorrow it's the first We Hate Movies episode of Listener Request Month. Steve Sadak, what are we talking about?
It is the first time in for this week we'll be talking about a one-armed man causing mischief. It's Night Game.
Dude.
A sleepy Roy Scheider baseball adjacent thriller. We had fun with this. It's a fun episode.
It's
one of those wackadoo ones that like is a pure Listener Request Month classic.
Yes.
Like, what is this movie? And now we discover.
Give the movie a chance. It's not as bad or boring as some people think. And give the episode a chance. Tune in and listen to us talk Roy Scheider.
Scheider. There it is.
And I imagine Roy Scheider, in his time on this earth, he was a guy that hated commercials. So if you're like Roy Scheider and hate commercials, ad-free We Hate Movies on the $8 level and up. You can hear us do our Roy Scheider impression without any commercial interruption. And then as Steve mentioned, yes, that's correct. It's the first of two episodes we're releasing this week talking about one-armed villains, because that's right. On Friday, we're dropping this month's patron-requested We Love Movies episode, and it's on The Fugitive, one of the best movies ever.
Look at him in that hat, the St. Patrick's Day hat. I love it.
I was so happy I found a picture of the St. Patrick's Day hat. It fucking rules. Tommy Lee Jones rules in this movie. I think it's Harrison Ford's best performance.
This is one of the best movies. I love this movie to death. Listen to us talk about it this week.
Philippe says one-armed week on WHM. That's right, my friend. But that's going to do it for this week. Thanks so much, everybody. If you haven't seen Dune yet, I hope you have a good time with it. Enjoy the Academy Awards, by the way. I'll be watching live, and we'll be covering that next week. But until then, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Have a great week, y'all. Bye-bye.